The hour of 8:30 having arrived, I'm going to call to order state and local government operations, reforms, technology, and elections. The first bill on the agenda is House Bill 1857, and Representative Poppy will take over the committee.
Now,
Representative Pulaski, you'd like to move this bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'll move that House File 1857 be recommended to pass and be placed on the General Register. This bill is an agency bill, actually comes at the request of the Plenty Administration. Bruce Johnson is here. He's going to explain the need for the bill. Simply, it allows for notices to be sent by either U.S. mail or electronic mail. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, members, I'm Bruce Johnson. I'm Assistant Chief Administrative Law Judge at the Office of Administrative Hearings. I really like this bill. It actually came out of the Department of Labor and Industry. Their rule-writing people came up with this idea, and then they contacted us, and we worked collaboratively in drafting it. And it's something that I think simplifies and makes less costly, at least incrementally, the rulemaking process. And we're hoping that other agencies look through Chapter 14 and look for similar kinds of legislation. As Representative Pulaski indicated, the big change is it allows notification by email. We're sort of updating that when people provide their email address. In other words, if interested parties do not provide an email address, then they're still notified by mail. And frankly, we're looking for other opportunities to streamline the process. So that's really all I have to say about the bill, but I stand for questions if members have any.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the testifier?
Madam Chair, I have no one else to testify that I know of.
Thank you. I believe we're still one short on a quorum, so we're not able to move this bill. But maybe now we're good. So, Representative Pulaski.
Madam Chair, I renew my motion that House Bill 1857 be recommended to pass and be placed on the General Register.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Motion
members.
Failed.
Thank you.
Good job. That was the best still. That's the still time.
The next bill on the agenda is House File 940, Representative Zellers. Not here. We'll go to House File 1981, Representative Kahn. We may do another one. Representative Kahn, the motion to your bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that House File 1981 be recommended to pass, and I guess it needs to be re-referred to Finance.
Finance.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Kahn, to your motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that I'm very much in favor of. It's particularly nice that it's a really good bill that I've had to do hardly any work on. So I would like to present the two people who have worked extensively on this bill to really, actually I should say, one of the things I was involved with was I was involved with the creation of Limit, which started out as a grant under the old LCMR. And so this is now its next invocation, and I'll defer to the people who give you better information on it.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record, the people who really did the work on the bill.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Dana Badgerow, the Commissioner of Administration. This is actually a Drive to Excellence project that was initiated in January of 2007. it's unique in that this was one that was generated by the community itself. The GIS community came together uniformly and asked if it could be a Drive to Excellence project. So it is, they've done some strategic planning, and in particular a Compass Point retreat that involves state agencies, cities, counties, the U.S. Geological Survey, private sector GIS, geographic information systems, interests, and uniformly they came forward and said, we need more coordination and leadership in GIS in the state of Minnesota. Why? Because today GIS is at the foundation of so many of our systems. Just as an example, we have been asked to supply 24/7 GIS support to the State Emergency Operations Center that is monitoring the flood situation, because geographic information is so critical with respect to that flood. It is fragmented today. There are somewhere between a dozen and 13, 14 state agencies that have their own GIS activities or capabilities. We are spending, again, we're not quite sure, but somewhere between $12 and $20 million on GIS systems and their development and their maintenance, and it is growing fast at 10 to 15% per year. So I think what this proposal does in simple terms, and David Arbeit here will walk you through the bill, it simply creates an enterprise governance of GIS, much like we've done in other Drive projects, for real property, for grants, for fleets. It will focus the state's investments on strategic needs. It will dramatically improve GIS services. It will control costs, such as enterprise software licenses and data capture. And it will do more than LIMIC currently does, which is largely a coordination function. And I think at that point I'd like to turn it over to David Arbeit, who is currently the director of the Land Management Information Center.
Commissioner, Representative Tom, before we do that, there's an amendment. Do you need to put that amendment on, Representative Tom?
It's a potentially technical amendment.
The A1 amendment, are you moving
it? I'll move the A1 amendment.
Representative Tom moves the A1 amendment. You want to explain, because it does deal with fees, what the amendment does?
Well, it allows, maybe Mr. Shepard, who wrote it.
All right. Mr. Shepard, the A1 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, the first line of the A1 amendment just codifies this legislation in the laws governing the Commissioner of Administration, since this will be under her supervision. The second line of the amendment provides that the fees charged by the office, most of which I think will be charged to state agencies, will be approved by the Commissioner of Finance. And therefore, because most of them are charged to state agencies, but not all, they would be exempt from rulemaking process and just approved by the Commissioner of Finance. The reference on page 4, line 28 after the period, refers to advisory groups that are created in this bill. It just specifies that they serve at the pleasure of the Commissioner, that they would be reimbursed for expenses but not receive per diem, and it provides a sunset date for these groups. And then finally, the last line of the amendment provides that the bill would be effective with the start of the new fiscal year.
All right. Discussion to the amendment. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Commissioner, before we leave you for a second, is this at the recommendation of the Pliny administration? Is this something that was in the governor's budget?
Mr. Chair and the members, yes, it was. And in fact, it's been approved by the Drive to Excellence sub-cabinet, which is a group consisting of 8 commissioners. It is also has an executive sponsor. Originally, the executive sponsor was Brad Moore from the PCA. When he left, Gene Hugeson stepped in and is the executive sponsor, as with all Drive projects. And you've given me the opportunity to mention that in your folders is a one-page, very brief handout that summarizes kind of a Reader's Digest version of what we're trying to do here. But I will turn it over to Mr. Arbeit.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is David Arbeit. I direct the Land Management Information Center, and I also serve as director of the Office of Geographic and Demographic Analysis in the Department of Administration. I'm very pleased for the opportunity to bring this bill to you, and especially appreciate Representative Kahn's willingness to sponsor this bill. As she mentioned, the Minnesota Geospatial Information Office that would be created by this bill is a really descendant of the Land Management Information Center. It's an attempt to formalize many of the roles that LIMIC, as the Land Management Information Center is known, has assumed over the years as the technology has become adopted by really every unit of government within the state. Many of these functions are currently being performed by LIMIC, but without any formal authorization to do that. It's sort of a collaborative of the willing. This would formalize that role and, among other things, also tie the geospatial technology coordination function more tightly, more closely with the functions of the Office of Enterprise Technology, which has begun to rely on us for coordinating this aspect of technology already. So walking through the bill, it's pretty straightforward. Many of the provisions are really, although they appear to be new the way it appears here, are provisions taken from the language that's already in Linux authorization language. Others are adapted from language that you'll find in the authorization for the Office of Enterprise Technology so that we can parallel that function and formalize the relationship between them. So Subdivision 1 creates the office in the Department of Administration. Subdivision 2 specifies the authorities that it will have, which formalizes its function to identify, coordinate, and guide strategic investments in geospatial information technology systems, data, and services. Subdivision 3 delineates duties that have been derived from a 2 years' worth of analysis of guided by the Governance Council on Geographic Information and through some work through a consultant that we contracted with, duties that this office really would need to have to be effective, and that reflect duties that we find in similar offices that are being created in similar offices in other states around the country right now. Subdivision 4 specifically describes the duties of the geospatial information officer who will head this agency, and it's what's called a GIO is a model that about a dozen states have now adopted. It's increasingly reflects the understanding that geospatial technology is a little bit specialized enough to have its own coordinating officer, but that officer would work closely with the CIO of the state, and that's what this officer would do. Subdivision 5 is literally word for word, except for the substitution of the Minnesota Geospatial Information Office language that exists in the current legislation that allows LIMIC to provide services on a cost recovery basis. So the only thing that's really changed there is the name of the office. Subdivision B, and actually all of Subdivision 5 comes from that source. Subdivision 6 clarifies the accountability of this officer, who is accountable to the Commissioner of Administration, but it acknowledges the close relationship to the Chief Information Officer, currently Gopal Khanna. And Subdivision 7 then identifies some discretionary powers that allow us to enter into contracts, spend money, sort of standard stuff that an office would require to function. And then Subdivision 8, which I think is maybe unique to this officer, this particular office, is that this comes from the community and is, among other things, reflects the way the community of GIS professionals and agencies currently function. This office will be receive advice from two different advisory councils, one which will comprise state agency representatives so that we can focus on coordinating state agencies and providing more efficient delivery of services by state agencies, and the other is a statewide council that ensures that statewide needs, because many of the data and services that are required by state agencies are also required statewide, we receive advice about that. And that second advisory council, the statewide geospatial advisory council, is very similar to the current Governor's Council on Geographic Information, which has been authorized by executive order since 1991. Finally, the Subdivision 9 provides for a 6-month period through mid-January for the new office to assess all of the linkages in current statutes to the Land Management Information Center or Land Management Information System, which is another reference which is frequently found in legislation. In some respects, it's antiquated. There is no longer any such thing as the Land Management Information System. but to review all of those provisions and to make a recommendation about which, how they should be amended, continued, or repealed because they're no longer relevant. And then Section 2, line 5.1 through 5.5, provides for the transfer of assets of the Land Management Information Center to the MGIO. In other words, we basically providing the funding and resources to continue those current operations. And then beyond that, it's to basically instructions to the revisor. And then the repealer amendment is basically repeals the language in the current 4A05, which authorizes the Land Management Information Center. So it's a way, rather than trying to amend that particular provision, we're just repealing it and then rewriting a bill for the new office, which that original language is 30 years old.
Commissioner or Mr. Albright, I've got a question. How do you create a new office given the base cuts to the agencies that have been already recommended by the planning administration and will probably be deeper however this session finishes? So whichever one of you wishes to respond. Commissioner?
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chair and members. We've prioritized among the Department of Administration's various activities, and we deem this to be one of our most important priorities. This is an enterprise-wide effort, and it impacts the enterprise, and so we've held it harmless, almost. They took a $12,500 cut, but we've almost held them harmless and taken cuts in other areas of the department. This is really not creating a new office per se. It's changing the name of an existing office and giving it increased authorities.
Okay. Questions to the bill, or to the bill's amendment? Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Madam Chair, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I believe that the GIS systems are very important, and what we're going through up in the Red River Basin right now is a testimony to that. My constituents can go on a website and because of GIS, and they can have a picture of their house and what all the different flood levels would do to their property, how close it would come or whether their house would be under or whatever. And it's a tremendous tool and very important in a situation like we're in right now. But a couple questions I have, whoever would like to respond, is how would this new office relate to systems that are already in place in terms of services provided to them or coordination or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one question. The other question is what would this office do to help other parts of the state that don't have this kind of service available?
Commissioner, Mr. Harper.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Lanning, I'm very pleased that you have seen how valuable this is, and I'd be happy to answer the questions. In fact, even today, some of the displays that you're seeing in terms of GIS generated displays of aerial photographs with other kinds of features on it, those aerial photographs are actually coming from our shop. They're services that are provided over the web from using data that was acquired through a joint venture between the, in this case, the Farm Services Agency, the USDA, and the state, that through a contract that the Land Management Information Center brokered that provided funds from the state that were collected from seven state agencies to cost share with the federal project. So the imagery for 2003 and 2008 were both acquired through that kind of informal coordination already. The image service that provides the images that are in the background for most of the applications that you'll see there, and for that matter anywhere else in the state, are coming from the Centennial Building through a service that's coming out of Limit. What this would allow us to do would be to at least have appropriate standing to advocate for other services of that same type, to continue those services, and when presuming the fiscal climate gets a little better, we would be able to have some funding to do a little more. But services like that, services that you would see now, in fact, the 10 o'clock today, my people, as well as folks from MnDOT and some other agencies, are attending a meeting at the State Emergency Operations Center to figure out how to coordinate GIS support for the Red River flood response. And MnDOT, for example, is standing up an application that we are helping to coordinate and make available for road closures and in response to this sort of thing, similar kind of thing that they did when the bridge collapsed. Our role would be to coordinate the very good services that are being developed by agencies. We're no longer in a situation where it's appropriate for one entity to be developing all those services. But the technology is such right now so that a coordinating entity can work with other agencies and local units of government to basically mash up these services to provide an integrated application that would be applied to a situation like that. In response to the second question, in terms of how would it help other parts of the state, really the answer is in part the same. In almost every county in the state right now that has a GIS application where there are images in the background, those images are coming from the Centennial Building. And the data was acquired by the state through the state-federal partnership. And we would be seeking, basically what this allows us to do is to refocus what the priorities that are currently embedded within Linux so that they're wholly focused on the coordination function rather than only 80% focused on it, which is the way they are right now. So those are the kinds of things that we would do. And the statewide coordinating council is proposed in the statute in order to provide a vehicle for receiving advice from communities around the state about what this office should be doing.
Thank you. That's appreciate those responses, and the state of Minnesota needs to do this.
Representative Khan.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make a comment. I remembered listening to David at the time of the Root River flood when he was talking, and I think the system was not as developed as it is now, and I think, sure you can remember what you said better than I do, but I remembered I had never even thought of Linux role in that until I heard that speech or statement or whatever it was on NPR.
Oh, that one, okay.
Representative
Kiffman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Khan and Commissioner, excellent concept and very well thought out. I know you've done a lot of work, and Mr. Arbeit, we've worked together before on GIS issues and imaging the original land survey records, making them available, spending very few dollars, but tremendous benefits. So it's good to see you back again and furthering this kind of work. In regards to the financing of it, the question was asked before, and I appreciate, Commissioner, your answer to that. But I also note that on line 230, 2.30, there's also a section on fees. And I know, too, that this is very valuable work, but agencies are also going to be scrapped. So kind of what's your idea over those next few years for how you're going to handle these fees?
Commissioner?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, today LMIC has what we call a service bureau that in fact has people charging state agencies for their services, consulting services for the most part. Those fees are currently approved by the Department of Finance. Their revenue is about $700,000 to $800,000 a year, so there is a demand for the services. We would expect probably with state agencies' budgets getting tighter, there will be less demand for those services, but no less need. So this office in fact can help broker those services by coordinating from other agencies. That's one of the benefits of this office, in fact, in that it will have a purview of all the GIS activities in all agencies and will help try to rearrange those so that they can support the need a little bit better.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Arbeit, you mentioned that one of the new committees formed in this statute is much like a committee that's already in existence.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen to that current committee? Will that be disbanded?
Mr. Arbeit.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative. The Council on Geographic Information has recommended this. This whole initiative was initiated by that council as a way to enable it to sort of formalize its role beyond executive order status to legislative status. So it has in its work plan this year Its goal is to sunset itself and to reconstitute itself in part as this new committee. And that's the vision for it.
President Gutwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Kahn, I would agree this is a good idea. One question I have, I noticed on page 4, you do reference an advisory council that will have membership from counties and cities and business and so forth, and I think that's great. I am curious, so I haven't talked with my own county people yet, but I know that both our cities, the City of St. Cloud, Stearns County, have invested a lot of money in GIS and trying to get up to speed with that. How is this going to kind of respect or integrate the work that's already been done? If you could speak to that.
Mr. Albright?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Stern. I'm sorry. A chair's in the way. wrong guy. Currently, the way the existing statewide advisory council functions is that there are, I think, two representatives from counties of among, I think, 18 members. There are other, I mean, the university, Minnesota's representative, the state university system's represented, cities are represented, the metro is represented, state agencies are represented, the federal agencies are represented, the private sector is represented, and nonprofits are represented, so it kind of gets spread pretty thin. The expectation right now, at least the recommendation that's been made by the current advisory body, is to seek appointments that are designated by in the county case by the Association of Minnesota Counties. One to represent an outstate county, one to represent a metro county. And the same would be true for the cities working with the League of Cities. Now, in terms of the specific investments in Sherburne County, St. Cloud, and that sort of thing, they are among the more advanced implementations in the state, and we know that. And they would participate in the discussions, and among other things, our vision is to promote what we call a service-oriented technical architecture that would basically integrate the stuff that they are doing with other data that are coming from other sources. Counties individually have problems when issues cross into the next county because there's no coordination or real integration there. So, in part, this office would seek solutions, voluntary solutions to those kinds of problems. And the community itself and the individuals that run these systems, manage these systems, advocate for their use, all get it. And this is a vehicle to allow them to do that a little better.
President Gumbel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Representative Cantu, I do appreciate actually the section on fees because in my work on a city council, we really tried to work towards that if you're providing the service, the fees ought to cover the cost rather than having the general tax paying public or the general fund in this case covered. So that's actually a pretty good fiscal discipline.
Further discussion? Anyone else wish to testify? Representative Cox.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 1981 be recommended to pass.
As amended.
As amended.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Motion prevails. Representative Thiessen? House File 936. Representative Thiessen, I believe this goes to the General Register, is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
I'll move that House File 936 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. Representative Thiessen, see your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is a start down the path of trying to get us thinking about and preparing for the AIDS wave that's coming. It's basically a proposal designed kind of like the Star Cities proposal that we have. It would be voluntary for cities to go through a process to get themselves designated or to put in place the structures that would allow them to be designated as communities for a lifetime. The bill, you can see, runs through a whole variety of things that at least as we drafted up the bill, we thought would be important for, and it's not just cities, it's any kind of local unit of government, to figure out how they're best going to deal with the coming AIDS wave and make sure that older Minnesotans can live in their communities with independence and dignity. And so it kind of sets out the criteria and then charges the Minnesota Board of, on Aging with coming up with the process about how cities would go about applying for this process. Again, it's voluntary and kind of organic so that the local units of government can organize themselves either as individual cities or as areas of clusters of cities or counties to get themselves designated as a community for a lifetime.
Rest in peace, and that I apologize. I believe this was a division report, so I'm going to withdraw my motion, and then I'll go to Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the division report.
Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Then Representative Nelson, I'll renew my motion that House File 936 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register. To the bill. No discussion to the bill. Anyone wish to speak? Representative Gutwald.
Well, Mr. Chair, I know we heard this in at least one other committee, and we talk a lot about prevention and wellness and trying to encourage people. This may be the first generation among our kids who might not live as long as we do because of the obesity issue and so forth. And I think this has some merit in encouraging communities to do some things without mandating that they do them, but kind of holding it out as a carrot or a recognition for them actually beginning to put some things in place to make their communities healthier and also more accommodating as we have our baby boomers aging. So,
any further discussion? Seeing none, then I'll renew my motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
I believe Representative Zeller is in traffic, and Representative Emmers is going to take over the bill. Representative Nelson, this is another division report.
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the division report.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Aye.
And Representative Nelson. To the bill itself, do we know where this bill goes? House File 940. From here. We don't ever. We're going to hold off, I think, on the motion on the bill itself, and you can explain it. Representative Emmer is graciously going to fill in for Representative Sellers. So, Representative Emmer.
I guess, Mr. Chair, do we want to move the amendments first?
Oh, yes. Well, we
do what you want to hold up.
We certainly could.
Let's get the A2.
What do we have? The A2 amendment? Representative Emmer, you want to move the A2 amendment?
I do. I think it's fairly self-explanatory.
All right. All those in any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Emmer, the A3 amendment.
I'd move the A3 amendment again. I think this is fairly self-explanatory.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. All right, to the bill as amended. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I do have one more amendment, but we'll hold off on that one. At this point, my understanding is this is a fairly technical bill involving employment issues, and I have an attorney from Hennepin County who's here to tell you about the bill.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, my name is Luann Lawrence. I'm a human resources manager for Hennepin County. And we have been working with AFSCME business representatives on this bill, and Don Thorson from AFSCME is here as well if you have questions for him. Basically, the purpose of the bill is to streamline processes for us. We've noticed some duplication and areas where we can really do business more efficiently by making these changes to the Human Resources Act. We have already obtained approval of the human resources rules through the Human Resources Board and the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners, and so we're seeking approval of the changes that are mirrored in the HR law. So in Section 1, the first change is to permit an involuntarily demoted employee who fails probation to be terminated for cause, and the amendment just clarifies that termination is from the demotional job rather than the promotional job. Then in Section 2, the change is to allow the HR director and department director to establish the length of a probationary period for a job class not to exceed 12 months. 12 months is the maximum limit that we have obtained approval for through the Human Resources Board, that this would streamline the process. Then also in Section 2, we're asking to create a panel of three randomly selected department directors to hear non-disciplinary HR rule violations. Those don't occur very often, but they would be over such matters as hiring, pay, hours of work, leaves of absence, etc. And the amendment just clarifies that any appeals regarding layoff would still be heard by the HR board rather than this new panel. And then in Section 3, we're just asking that our compensation plan be approved directly by the county board as opposed to being required to go through the HR board first.
All right, I understand there's another amendment that you may wish to pass out at this time, and we could look at it.
Mr. Peterson is here to tell us what it is.
Why don't we pass the amendment?
Unless there are questions for...
Yes, are there any questions for Ms. Lyons? Sure. Representative Nelson.
This has been part of my confusion of this bill since I first saw it, and I've been asked, working with the county and working with AFSCME, but you said that a person gets promoted from a job, they don't perform in the job that they were promoted to, they get put back to their old job, but now they can be fired from their old job, and at least that's the way I understood what you said. So if I'm doing real well and I get promoted, because that's, you know, usually you get promoted because you do a good job in where you're already working, and now you're promoted to a higher job that you just don't quite cut it, you're put back in your old job and now you're fired from your old job. To me, again, it's with the amendment, I thought it was supposed to clear it up, but it still seems to me you could be a way that we could, if I want to get rid of somebody, we'll promote them to a job, and while they're in their probation, we'll put them back in their old job and then fire them during that probation. And I guess, just explain that to me, where I'm reading this wrong.
Ms. Lawrence.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the situation would not occur very frequently. Normally when somebody is promoted, it's because of their good performance. But there could be a situation where the person is unable to perform that higher level job, and so then they're demoted to the lower level job, and then for some reason or another, their performance is not acceptable in that demotional job, and so then they could be dismissed, and it would be for cause.
Representative Nelson,
does it say that here that it would be for cause? Because it's the way I'm, you know, the way I'm, I heard you say it, and that's the concern I have, that that this would be a way to get rid of people, that, you know, pick out people and get rid of people you don't want.
This would only be if their performance was unacceptable, and they would be serving a probationary period in that lower-level job. So the only way they could be dismissed is if their performance was so unacceptable that they met the just cause standard. Right, and that would be at the lower-level job after the demotion.
Thank you. I'm told that Commerce and Labor would like to see this bill, and in part, I guess, because of the discussion that we're having here. So the initial motion will be to send this to Commerce and Labor. And
the only reason I did Representative Emmer Peterson up right away, Mr. Chair, is because my understanding is the amendment is a little different. It's included within this, but it's a little different issue. So unless there are questions... Additional questions for Ms. Lawrence and Mr. Peterson.
Any further questions of Ms. Lawrence? And stay close by. We may have more questions for you as we proceed here. Why don't we welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record. And as I understand it, the AO9-254 amendment is in reference to this testifier.
Should I move that?
Yeah. Why don't we move it? And let's not put it on quite yet until he explains it. All right. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kirk Peterson with Rice, Michaels, and Walker, representing Hennepin County. As Representative Emmer said, this is a little bit different. This deals with the extension of a task force that the legislature created back in 2006 at the request of Hennepin County. It deals with Victory Memorial Drive. For those of you that aren't familiar, Victory Memorial Drive is a parkway in North Minneapolis. It was completed in 1921 as a memorial to all of the soldiers from Hennepin County that died during World War I. And since 1921, significant changes have happened to the area. There's been a lot of work done, and At the request of Hennepin County in 2006, the legislature created a task force to work with interested parties up there, Hennepin County, the Minneapolis Park Board, City of Robbinsdale, City of Minneapolis, the Historical Society, to begin redesigning and refurbishing that that section of Parkway. This task force expires at the end of this year, and they aren't completed with their work yet. So all this does is request that that task force be allowed to continue for another 2 years so that they can complete their work.
All right, Mr. Friesen, I can see why the amendment's germane to this committee, because it extends the task force. Is this becoming the omnibus Hennepin County bill? Is that what we're looking at here, Mr. Friesen?
Apologize, Mr. Chairman. I hope not. I don't think that there are anything else that will go on there, onto this bill. Again, there's nothing in statutes. It's in session law that the task force was created, and since this is a Hennepin County initiative, and the task force was a Hennepin County initiative also, we figured it would be an appropriate place to put a Hennepin County bill.
All right. A discussion to the amendment. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Absent the extension of this task force, could Hennepin County and the other governmental units not enter into their own formal or informal agreement to continue the works? Do we need actual statutory language for them to say, now you guys go ahead and meet?
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Biskins, I assume that they could. However, the legislature did create the task force in 06, and we're following the recommendations of the legislature to continue with the task force.
But Representative Biskins does open an interesting issue here. The proliferation of task force and other items, it seemed to have to be done by law, when in fact a memo or a letter or Hennepin County could simply draw these people together. It does seem a little perplexing why we have to have even session law in order to do this. So as long as you're here and the amendment's before us, if the amendment didn't go on, you could continue this. Is that correct, Susan?
Mr. Chairman, the parties could continue to negotiate. They wouldn't have the power of the task force to do so. The task force was required to complete a study, which they did in 2008. They have an action plan to continue to complete the mandates that they have set forth for themselves. Excuse me, that action plan is not completed, and they feel that this was created by the legislature, that it would be the best way to go to continue working, since there are so many different jurisdictions and so many agencies involved.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, to the testifier, you come back to the fact that the legislature created this. The legislature also put on a very specific time frame in which this would sunset. Right? So if you want to use legislative intent, let's use it, and let's sunset at the end of 09. The legislature, again, Mr. Chair, I think if this goes on, we probably are creating an omnibus Hennepin County piece of legislation, and there might be a lot of good germane amendments on the House floor to an omnibus Hennepin County bill.
Representative Biskins, my concern isn't so much that, but my concern is that Hennepin County could be a real trendsetter here and say that the task force is doing such a good job, we'll just continue it without legislative authority. And the ripples of that might be extraordinary. Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, you do raise a good point. If you would like, I could go over some of the things that are on the action plan that will continue, again, that we would like to see done with the cooperation of the other agencies.
And, Mr. Peterson, I just want to be clear. I mean, you could do that without us telling you to do it. Am I misunderstanding something here? I bring this up because we have a couple other bills, even this week, that are going down this vein of where we absolutely have to establish a task force. And I'm perplexed why we have to do this, and you just can't do it.
Mr. Chairman, I think the other part of the rationale is that the original task force that was created required that the different parties and entities provide staff support and administrative services. And I think that this would help guarantee that these parties continue to keep working with each other. I think that they have had a pretty good relationship so far. We just want to make sure that the work is allowed to continue with the input of all parties.
Yeah, well, Mr. Peterson, I'm not so sure that you couldn't do that without this, and I don't know if we're simply sending a message or actually helping you do something, but Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Peterson, I should have paid closer attention. Could you say again who the members of the task force are?
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Winkler, the task force consists of the director of the Historical Society, Minneapolis City Council member from the City of Minneapolis, City Council member from the City of Robbinsdale, somebody from the Hennepin County Board, the president of the Minneapolis Park Board, two representatives representing the area, two senators representing the area, two citizen representatives, and two representatives of local veterans organizations.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Peterson, I guess my comment would be, I think it's very hard to guarantee that all those parties are going to be willing to come down and work together and try to fashion some kind of an action plan and carry that out just because Hennepin County wants to convene it. So I can see that in this case a task force that is extended might help the parties continue that work if they might not otherwise feel so motivated.
So, Mr. Peterson, a good thing is only a good thing if we tell you it's a good thing. You don't need to answer. Representative Biskins.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Do we have any information or documentation that the other units of government that are listed actually want to continue with this task force and want to continue providing administrative services, or is Hennepin County forcing them to do so by extending this task force?
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Biskins, I also do some work for the Minneapolis Park Board, who's a member of this. They are interested, to my knowledge, they're interested in continuing this. I talked to Representative Mullery, and I believe he's the state representative on there, but I'm not positive on that, and he expressed interest in continuing the task force. So I believe that there is interest in continuing the task force from all the parties.
Yeah. Mr. Peterson, the bill was introduced on February 19th. You're here with an amendment today that had to be put together rather quickly because we have a note saying that it's literally just been drafted. Can you explain why that occurred, that there hasn't been an effort by Hennepin, if this is so important, that we're doing an amendment on the fly again to continue this? It was so important.
Mr. Chairman, I can't explain that. The county staff recently brought this to our attention. I believe that they were reviewing the report that they had and noticed that the task force expires at the end of the year and was reviewing their action plan and figured that they can't get the action plan done by the end of the year.
All right. Any further discussion to the amendment? Anyone else wish to testify on the amendment? Representative Emmers, did you move the amendment or did I move the amendment? Did you move it?
I believe I did.
Okay. Representative Emmers has moved the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, nay?
No.
Nay. Motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Representative Emmers.
Well, just in closing, Mr. Chair, I think the formal motion is to send it to Labor and Commerce. I'd just like to note for the record that if some others on this committee might be well aware, perhaps our friend from Hennepin County should try the bus next time he'd be here.
By the way, Representative Zellers, Representative Emmer has done you a huge favor today. And there was one amendment that was not adopted dealing with the sunset. We had some discussion about it. There will be further discussion on the issue of task force in general. So you may wish to go to Hennepin County and tell them that to prepare a little bit more in advance. But I understand you were stuck in traffic, and we can sympathize.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, my children were down here earlier this week, and our daycare only set that before 8 a.m. So actually, we were in Representative Emmer's office. So technically, I think this can be blamed on him.
Well, I guess that time was
most everything can.
I do thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the amendment was brought at a little bit of a late date. And the understanding is just to help them to continue the economic development for some blighted areas. And I'll make sure and talk to the committee members about the discussion.
Representative Zellers, the motion is to go to Commerce and Labor. There's some discussion here about the complexities of this bill, and we're sending it to Commerce and Labor at their request. So, Representative Emmer renews his motion that House File 940 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Commerce and Labor Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members, before
you leave. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your consideration, too.
You're welcome. Yesterday, Representative Dill missed the hearing, and I had a conversation with Representative Dill. There was a personal event of some importance going on in his life at the time. And where he was infinitely more important than being here. So sometimes passing a bill is important. It was not as important as what he was doing yesterday. So I thank the committee for the indulgence of working on the bill without his presence. Representative Poppy?
Session moves the minutes of Tuesday, March 24th.
President Poppy moves the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. All right, meeting is adjourned.